are now listening to the Warp World Podcast. Boom shakalaka.
Welcome, everybody, to the Warp World Podcast, episode 100, live here.
Episode 100!
At wow. E3 2019.
Isn't that so exciting?
With me is the loud guy you've already heard, X-Water.
Hi.
And the wolf known as Noble Tofu.
Hello.
Ooh.
Where's my duck whistle? I need my duck whistle.
No. Oh, no.
No duck whistle.
No duck whistle.
Guys, so Noble Tofu is joining us. You know, he's from California. He's here. He's been hanging out with us all week, so we figured we'd have him on the podcast. This podcast is going to be about our experience currently at E3. We're at day three of E3, so there's still a little bit more to do after this, but I think we got enough to talk to you guys about it all right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think, like, really, most importantly, above all else, is, like, this somehow aligned to fit episode 100, the first triple-digit number that we're going to hit, at the same time that we're at E3. Really sad that we don't have Pooh here. Happy that we do have the guest that is Tofu.
Thank you.
I'm stoked to have you on. But
if he shaved his head...
I put a hat on and took out my gauges?
Yeah, no.
It'd almost be like he's here.
No.
But we wouldn't have that passion... That Grand Pooh Bear essence.
Nah, you can't replace
the Pooh essence.
You can't replace him.
No. The Pooh essence.
No, absolutely not.
I'm coining that.
Pooh essence.
Happy to be here.
I would buy that.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
No, this is crazy. We did not know we were going to be filming on the E3 floor.
No.
Last week, we got an email like, hey, you're registered for a podcast. Are you guys interested in recording and or using our little area? And we're like, yeah. So... all this came really fast at, like,
yes,
had no clue. So, you know,
we've learned a lot about how to attend E3 as media. Granted, when we first decided to do this, Jaku and I were talking about attending E3 for the purpose of getting details about Mario Maker 2. As everybody knows, it's like we're trying to get the ground floor built for the new Warp World queuing system that's going to hopefully support Mario Maker 2 as fast as possible after launch. So the goal and the general idea was that we wanted to come here, get our hands on Mario Maker 2, and we applied for media badges through the podcast, and we got them accepted. So booked our flights, all that other stuff. And then Nintendo announces their show floor list doesn't include the whole reason we came here for.
Yeah. We were here for Mario Maker 2, and instead we got Doug Bowser pretending to be Bowser.
Don't you mean the other way around?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Doug Bowser was technically born first, right?
Yes, actually.
So, I don't think Doug Bowser's 35.
No.
If he's 35, he's got to do something about that.
In the
no offense, Doug Bowser.
In the Japanese direct, it was funny. They had like subtitles for it because he's called Koopa.
He's called Koopa, but also
wait, what?
Yeah.
You ever play a Japanese Smash Bros?
The joke.
Oh, that's funny.
But it was still pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's an easy joke.
Uh huh.
But yeah, I don't know. This is amazing.
This is an incredible experience so far. A lot of what we've been doing at the conference so far has been a lot of meetings and business type stuff with other developers, other like media companies. We hung out with some friends, got some dinners and stuff, which will make a great story for later on.
Oh man, we're waiting.
We gotta go day by day.
Yeah,
we can't tell you what happened last night, even though that's the juiciest.
That's the best thing that's happened in my entire life. But gentlemen, why don't we go ahead and dive in with our experiences, and then after that we can kind of talk about like the announcements and what we're hyped for, what we think is a flop, all that stuff. Kick it off with our day one experiences being here, and maybe we start off telling the story of how we got you into the conference with us.
Yeah. So me attending, just like everything else, you know, I've kind of just been like inviting myself essentially. No, it was very last minute. But you know, Jaku knew I lived in the area, so he decided to, you know, extend the invite. And when we came here, you know, they already had their badges and everything, and they wanted to see if, you know, it's like, oh, we're part of Warp World. I'm part of Warp World. So, you know, just kind of like squeeze me in as the company, you know, part of the company. And we went up and we found out that, like, you know, we were able to, like, get in a person for the company for every so many ratings for the podcast. And then, we just basically went up and got the badge like almost, it was almost effortlessly.
It was ridiculous. Yeah, it was almost like, it was almost like they didn't have, I was surprised at how easy the process was. We walked up to a desk, they gave us a piece of paper, we walked up to another desk, bam, Tofu's in E3.
Well, hold on, because that's not exactly what happened. That piece of paper, we're walking, we're like, is it this easy? Could we just go photocopy this and put anyone's name and get anyone else in? No. No, because the guy that gave us the sheet of paper did not put him into the computer system right away.
Yeah.
And we got there faster than he did, and they're like, you're not in the system. So there's definitely, you know, a another process to that. That's just one step of it.
Yeah.
But it was fairly easy.
It was, that piece of paper was absolutely forgeable.
Yeah. But the computer part,
oh no,
also forgeable, just not
as
easy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great to be able to get you in, because again, like you said, you're in the area. It's not that far of a drive for you.
No, 90 minutes.
Having another Warp World member here makes it all the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
even if he is a wolf.
And the media badge has given us 2 hours early access to everything.
Yeah, on the floor.
Which
we haven't really taken advantage of.
No, we really have not.
A little bit, yeah. It's given us access to a couple of exclusive things at the conference as well, which we've been figuring out how much power we do and don't have in a lot of interesting ways. We've got to see a couple things behind closed doors at some points, but we've also got to, like, you know, skip a couple of lines every now and then, kind of just, yeah, I'm with the media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get a wave the burgundy? Burgundy
color?
That
either a weird mix of burgundy and magenta.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the first night we got here was Monday night, and we didn't actually, like, the conference starts on Tuesday, so it was kind of like a catch up with friends and goof around kind of day. So we get in, it's somewhere around like noon-ish.
Yeah.
Go out, get lunch with our good friend from Twitch, Sam, DJ.
Yeah, DJ Fluffkins.
Yeah, and we got some nice burgers.
That burger place was nice.
Checked into our hotel. And then what else did we do day one before we went out to dinner with, like, our friends?
Scooters.
Scooters!
I'm sorry, but, like, the electric scooter thing here in LA is, like, my new favorite thing. Like, I almost literally wanted to take a trip down here and just ride electric scooters around town.
Pooh said the same thing when we were in Seattle, and I'm like, let's ride scooters everywhere. And at first he was hesitant, and then afterwards he's like, that was fun,
no,
yo.
That's super fun.
Dude, remember that one guy who, like, tried to body check me off my scooter?
He body checked both of us.
Yeah.
Not even 5 seconds us taking off.
X-Water almost died.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My first, as soon as I take off, first scooter trip here, like, some dude's, like, on the side of the road. He just lets someone out of his car, and he's about to merge back into traffic, and, you know, he's pulled over. I don't know what his plan is. He's not using his blinkers. I'm in a bike lane, maybe, or in a regular lane, whatever. I'm on the road like I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Dude doesn't check his mirrors or blind spots and just, like, starts zipping out, almost rails me. It was ridiculous.
So it was Kellython when I first used the scooters, because we were all in there, and they had those scooters.
I remember,
and no one did them, but me and Johnny and the Beast, we had that live stream that was amazing. When I got back from Kellython last year, I'm like, I need a scooter.
Uh-huh.
So I looked up scooters online, and I'm like, you know what? These are stupid. I bought an electric skateboard, and that's been so much fun. That goes like almost 25 miles per hour.
Yeah, that's
10 terrifying.
Miles. It is. It's,
these scooters we've been riding max out at like 13, 14.
15, 16, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But Chicago is bringing the scooters to Chicago.
Oh,
like,
really?
Very soon.
Oh.
Nice.
So I'm going to be able to ride with my friends now, because they can get a scooter, I can skateboard.
Uh-huh.
And when you do group rides, like, because we do group rides on the skateboards, like 15, 20 of us.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, it's fun. We take over the streets.
I've never...
No, people see you then.
Uh-huh.
I've never ridden a skateboard before.
Yeah.
Ever. I always did rollerblades when I was a kid. I was a rollerblader.
I do both. I like both.
Yeah, honestly, rollerblades, every single piece of transportation like that has its pros and cons.
Uh-huh.
Bikes, easy to use, but hard to store.
Bigger, hard to store.
Yeah.
And wider turns.
Yep.
Yeah.
Skateboards, really cool, hard to balance.
Easy to store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scooters, similar, easier to balance, harder to store, but also, skateboard, hands-free. Scooter, not hands-free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then rollerblades, though, hands-free.
Yeah.
Easy to store.
You got to carry a pair of shoes with you,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When someone invents something that has all the pros and none of the cons.
Rollerblades with clip-on wheels,
motors attached.
Yeah.
That'll be the future.
Yeah. But... That's the thing. Rollerblades, you got to have a sturdy boot. Like, you can't be just wearing, like, a pair of, like, ankle-high Nikes, you know?
Yeah.
You got to have a real sturdy boot if you're going to roll through with something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, back to E3. We were scootering everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest, I forgot what we did after that, after I got in.
I think it was we hung out for a little while until
we checked
went
in the
to
hotel.
Dinner,
yeah,
right?
We did dinner, we hung out, and then we scooted around, and we went to the bar.
Oh, we went
to the
bar.
Yeah, that's right. We went to the bar after the dinner.
Where Jakku, he ordered 2 40-ouncers that had it was a beer with double handles.
Yes. Like, it was the size of Jakku's face.
Yeah,
and so we go out to the bar, and, like, you know, we were hanging out after dinner. We went with Spike, Vegeta, and Glackum. Glackum, who was here and did his Rayman run for the Ubisoft conference for Rayman's 20th anniversary. Super cool that he got to do that.
Yeah.
Amazing experience,
yeah.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And Spike, Vegeta was doing commentary for
us.
So they joined us, as well as Rom Scout and Katie and
our NASA nerd.
Man.
Yep.
Yeah.
The NASA nerd.
Yeah, and we
he's gonna change his Twitch name. That NASA nerd.
Yeah. So we had a really good crew, and then we ended up like splitting ways. Some people went to sleep, and a small group of us went out to this other bar where Jakku got the 40-ouncer. I got a Long Island iced tea, and the guy comes up after, and he's like, "All right, happy hour." And I'm like, "Wait, now?"
Yeah.
Because it's somewhere around like midnight.
It was, it was super late.
So Jakku kind of looks at me. And he's like, "Are we doing this?" And I was like, "I'll take a 40. I'll do that."
Yeah.
And so, Jakku slammed down 80 ounces of cider that night.
Yeah.
It was impressive. I wanted that mug.
Yeah, that mug was cool.
Yeah.
I wanted the double handle mug.
That was really cool. You know when you have, like, those, like, sleepovers as a kid where you're hanging out with your buddies and it's, like, late at night and you're supposed to be going to sleep but you're all just staying up giggling and telling secrets? That's what it ended up being like at the end of the night. Like, we had a good old time, came back, and just some nice... I was going to say some nice bondage, but that's not the right...
Nice bonding.
Bonding.
Nice. Bonding.
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 James Bonding.
Verb, not a noun.
Yes. Yeah, so that was all before E3 opened up.
Yeah.
There were some, obviously, news conferences and things like that everyone's seen, but the show floor opened up the next morning.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of us. We got to bed pretty late.
Yeah.
But we woke up fairly early.
We got there no later than 10, and it opened at 9.
Yeah.
We actually woke up in time for the direct.
Right.
Yes.
That's right, yeah.
Because that was the big news.
That was big news.
Okay, we should probably talk a little bit about the direct then.
Yes.
While we're here.
So, it opened up with Luigi's Mansion, didn't it?
It opened up with Doug Bowser and Bowser.
That's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It opened up with, like, a Nintendo Direct logo.
Yeah.
Let's frame by frame, let's nail it down. All right, I got the first frame. What's yours?
Okay, it's still on the Nintendo Direct logo.
All right, third frame?
I'm not playing this game.
All right, fine. You're out.
No, but we did have some really awesome announcements from Nintendo, and a lot of the stuff, like, we've already known, it's been in development, or, like, we've seen hints at it before, but a lot of things that people wanted to know, things that I wanted to know more details about. And so, like, the big ones were obviously Animal Crossing. We got a launch date on that.
I love, so Animal Crossing, the black screen, the white text, it shows up. I don't remember what it said, but immediately,
like, the font that they used and everything, I look at it and I'm like, well, that's not Animal Crossing.
Yeah, no.
And then next slide, it was like Nook Skylines. And it's like,
Animal Crossing.
That was really funny. But yeah, Animal Crossing. So some news about Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
They delayed it. It was going to be out this year, but they're like, it's going to be March. Because we want our employees to not feel rushed and
not
crunch time.
Yeah.
Their stock dropped a lot.
Really? Did it drop a lot? I've heard their market value dropped $1 billion.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much their stock needs to drop for their market value to drop $1 billion.
It dropped quite a bit.
Because what is a Nintendo stock, like $34?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know but I saw that it dropped, and it's like because the company's treating their employees like humans?
Because it's, that's business, man.
That's business. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, holy crap, Animal Crossing, it's only delayed a few months.
Yeah,
like,
March 20th.
That's more than enough time.
And we get it in less than a year.
It looks so interesting.
It looks like they're taking, like, aspects of, like, crafting and putting it in. Because you're on a resort island that Nook sends you to, of course.
Oh, that's like a slave island.
Essentially, he sends you out there and he's like, all right, so your fees are about 50,000 bells. I'm not flying you home unless you start working, pal.
The flight out there is free, but the flight home costs.
Yeah.
He's got some some camp that he's sending people to clean it up. And then he's going to, and here's what he's going to do. The next time a human villager comes back, it's like, hey, I built you this house on this island. He's doing it all over again.
Oh my God.
He's doing it all over again.
He's starting. That's why Tom Nook is a good businessman.
Yeah.
Good businessmen are not good people.
That's true.
That's why Nintendo's stock dropped. They're trying to be good people. That makes them bad businessmen.
It's interesting that Tom Nook's in this game that makes, you know, good business decisions, but doesn't care about the people. But Nintendo, poor business decisions, cares about the people.
Yeah. It's a social commentary.
Yeah.
But no, as you were just talking about the crafting elements and everything.
Oh my gosh.
And that was like one of the first things that they showed off. And I think that's going to be one of the most important things. I feel like gaming in these sorts of settings, like things like Minecraft, The Sims, all of these games that are more focused around like
reality
and living and just being a little goofy and like designing a house and making a nice little area. Crafting is a huge part of it. It's why people love Stardew Valley. It's why people love Minecraft, and it's why it's something people definitely are going to really appreciate in Animal Crossing, being able to craft specific kinds of decorations for your area.
Yeah.
We saw that you could like explicitly pave paths.
Yeah.
Yes.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
The trick to do that in the past was like to lay down those tiles.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it was like, this really isn't how you should do it, but it works.
It was something that was like unintentional.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so it's nice to finally see that in there. And yeah, it's got like a Minecraft-esque to it with crafting. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's gonna be fairly simple.
Yeah.
Which is good. Yeah. It's Animal Crossing. You don't want to have to remember 1,000 recipes.
No.
I'm not trying to make it a full-time job. I want to relax with that game.
Yeah. Well, you're trying to full-time job, relax, Animal Crossing. Yeah. It's a silly game. People love it though, and it's at a base level, it's so basic, but it's addicting in that regard. You have a goal, and it's an easy goal to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Something that I thought was like a really cool redeeming factor was at the end when it showed the release date. It showed 7 other players.
Yes.
With the one who originally walked up, which insinuates, you know, makes
eight
you
player
expect,
multiplayer. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah.
We definitely saw, we explicitly saw at least 4-player multiplayer.
Yes.
Like, they showed four players in the world, in the game, walking around and exploring and having fun together, which was amazing. And that's what I'm really excited about, the possibility of the 8. What I liked about that 8 that they showed was that 2 of them were designed after the Smash Bros. Villager character designs.
I didn't notice that.
They had the girl with the pink hair and the boy, like, the standard design, that, like, default costume.
That's funny.
He had the same shirt, same hair designs. It was adorable.
Yeah. 8 players would be really cool.
And you see when he pole vaults past the river?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
That was so funny.
That was...
Yeah. Because it was one of the, like, all the games, you have to, like, raise $1 billion to build a bridge. Now he's just like,
screw that.
Fuck you,
I'm
Tom
just
going to
go right across it.
I wonder if you're going to pole vault, and then it's going to break, and then you fall into the river and get washed down.
Tom Nook's going to be like, don't do that again. Build a bridge.
$40,000 to pull you out.
Rossetti pops out.
My God.
Oh, Rossetti. Yeah. So, so that was Animal Crossing.
That was one of the big, that was one of the really big ones we got.
We had some, you know, JRPGs. Dragon Quest announced.
Dragon Quest. Yeah, it was like Dragon Quest, Definitive Edition, S, Maximum, Final,
Overdrive,
Triple A. Like,
as
many ways as you can say, new.
Right. And complete.
Just to make sure you didn't already know.
Yeah, and so I guess on the topic of that, the Dragon Quest hero from multiple games, multiple skins, is going to be one of the new playable characters in Smash Bros.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they have a special ability to do spells and stuff.
Yeah, they have like an actual spell menu. They have mana.
They have mana.
Yeah.
Which looked really, really interesting. Now, I know, like, it was interesting because the other character they announced, it's almost like they explicitly tried to hit both the Western and the Eastern audience by giving the Japanese fans the Dragon Quest, because it's huge over there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And giving us our treasured bear and bird, Banjo-Kazooie.
Banjo-Kazooie,
man,
dude.
That video. Let's talk.
They were so good.
It was so good. You got Donkey Kong, you got Diddy, and you got King K. Rool all chilling in the treehouse.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not weird.
No.
They're sleeping. They hear a big noise, and they look out the window, and that was funny.
Same way they introduced K. Rool.
Yeah. Exact same rule. And then you see a bird, and
you see
a bear,
shadow,
and you're like, oh, Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh,
and then it's the duck hunt dog and duck.
And then they do the dumb laugh from the game, and it's like the most frustrating thing.
It just looked trolly.
Yeah,
it looked so trolly.
And like, as soon as you saw that scene set up, you knew what it was going for. but it still was hilarious.
Yeah, especially because in the very beginning, the little puzzle piece from Banjo-Kazooie bounced
by.
Yeah.
So, like, anyone who saw that and played the games, obviously, at that point, they know. The silhouette, you know.
Yeah.
And then Banjo just comes out, absolute unit, and he's just...
dunks on.
His moveset in the game looks incredible.
Yeah.
I'm excited because... It seems like we got like a really true to the game moveset. Like you can see he does the talent trot when he's sprinting, and it looks as if most characters in Smash Brothers, they don't run through other characters. Like if you're running towards someone and not taking a roll or an attack or an action, you don't run through the character.
You kind of
stop.
But
with talent trot with Banjo-Kazooie, it looks like you do.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, so I thought that was a really interesting thing because, you know, talent trot is a unique way of moving in the Banjo-Kazooie games. Mm-hmm. But you had like the farting egg bombs, which is from a mix of Banjo-Tooie and Banjo-Kazooie. You had the regular egg gun, which again, Banjo-Kazooie and Tooie and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You had all kinds of really cool moves. You could see his dash attack was kind of like the crouch and B move from Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, everything. The final smash was like the Mega Space Jinjo.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was so amazing. Cool.
I was more like just enthralled by the level. And how much it
Twisted
made me...
Mountain!
It made me just want a Banjo-Kazooie remake because it looked so good.
Well, there is, on the Xbox One, there's the Rare Replay Collection. It is a remaster. It's, I think, a little upscaled. I don't know exactly if I would call it a remake.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's in widescreen.
They do their best. I don't think
they like remade the assets like the same way Crash Bandicoot. I think they just like reframed it and made it work for that.
Yeah.
But that's the only reason I wanted an Xbox One at first. But now that you can play Xbox One games on PC, I can just, you know,
I kind of still wish that they didn't give us Banjo-Kazooie after that troll and gave us just a different
anyone
character.
Anyone else?
Like, I'd be okay with that. But then, like, obviously in true Nintendo fashion, they'd also then be like, oh, here's Banjo.
How about the pure savagery that is Banjo's forward smash attack where he pulls Kazooie out by his neck and just fucking wails him down to the ground.
PETA is already investigating this.
I have no doubt.
That bird is terrified and is screaming. As soon as he grabs him by the legs, that bird is like...
Well, you see, Duck Hunt was grabbing him by the neck as he was laughing. He's like sitting there, hee-hee-hee,
you know,
like strangling that duck.
Well, that's the whole thing. You shoot a duck, the dog picks it up, and he holds it.
Yeah.
It's animal abuse with animals, though. Is that animal abuse?
That's nature.
That's nature,
that's
right?
That's nature.
That's just nature.
I wouldn't walk up to a cheetah who's eating a fresh zebra and be like, that's not okay.
That's fair.
That's not okay.
That's just what bears do to birds.
Nature. Yep.
That's nature.
That's just nature.
Yeah, I guess now that you mention it like that. But they're best friends.
Are they, though?
I think so.
It's probably like a Stockholm Syndrome type situation.
Kazooie lives in the backpack. Well, I guess, if Kazooie tries to fly away, maybe Banjo just grabs her and slams her.
Yeah, like, uh-uh.
Maybe her wings are clipped.
Clipping those wings.
That's why you can't act. Oh, no, you can fly.
What if Banjo tries to run away from the bird and the bird doesn't let him?
Oh.
I think he could just keep hitting that bird in the ground and be okay.
Yeah. Banjo's up B move, the big jump, perfect, like frame by frame almost, like replication of the spring pads in Banjo-Kazooie also, which was really cool. Yeah.
The character works really well for Smash.
It's about time. Good to see it.
Yeah.
I love that the way they introduced it, going back to that, where you have Diddy, you have Donkey, you have K. Rool. Two of those three characters were the creation of Rare.
Yep.
And then... like, it's not the same thing as when they introduced K. Rool, where their jaws are dropping. They're in the windows going, yeah!
Yeah.
Like, cheering it up. Like, our friend made it. Like,
right. Like they were replicating how the crowd felt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Grant Kirkhope actually was one of the first, like, outside of Japan composers to get to work on the remixes for Smash Bros. I remember reading a little thread between him and Sakurai in a little article talking about how Sakurai, like, specifically wanted to reach out to Grant for it. And so, like, having him actually work on his own music from way back then and doing the remix. Because I'm pretty sure they did not have David Wise work on any of the Donkey Kong Country-themed tracks in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Those remixes are done by other artists. But Grant Kirkhope, for those who don't know, the original composer of Banjo-Kazooie and good friend of David Wise, who was the original composer for the Donkey Kong Country games and other Rare games. Grant got to work on Smash Bros. For that Twisted Mountain remix track.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's incredible. But those those two announcements alone were massive, but we had so much more too.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much more for Nintendo, but we should probably get into our E3 day.
Yeah,
last night we haven't even talked about anything.
That's true. We should. Yeah. We'll keep moving because that's really the big things. Obviously, you've seen the direct. You can go watch it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
what did we do on the Tuesday when we came in?
Well, we scootered in.
Scooted in fashion.
Of course.
The first thing we did was, I think, approach the Nintendo booths.
Yeah, we checked out the Nintendo booth. We walked straight to the hall for Nintendo, and we're like, where are you at, Doug?
It's
not there.
Massive.
Yeah, it's the lines are insane.
The lines are stupid.
Yeah. But they have some really cool stuff set up. The Zelda Link's Awakening looks amazing.
Uh-huh.
The line for that one surprises me.
Yeah.
Like, I understand people want to play, you know, a Legend of Zelda game and want to play the remake, but that line was longer than every other line.
Yeah.
Higher than Pokemon, higher than Luigi's Mansion, higher than everything.
They got a whole thing for Luigi's Mansion. Like,
they have a mansion.
They literally have a mansion.
They have a fake mansion, yeah.
You walk in, you get a flashlight.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a legit mansion. And
it's incredible. They've got the mansion for Luigi's Mansion. The Pokemon area, I would love to go in there. I don't want to wait, but, like, you can peek in, and they talk about it, but they've built a replica of the water gym from Pokemon Sword and Shield. And, like, the walls are huge, so, like, when you're in there, it's painted around, and there's posters that make it look like there's a stadium of Pokemon characters cheering for you. And, like, it really puts you in the environment. They have, right outside of the display is, like, Sobble and Grookey and Scorbunny, the three starters from the new Pokemon game. They're all chilling, like, out in the field, like, out there. You can take pictures with them. We got a few. They're cycling down on this laptop at some point.
Yeah.
I was blown away by that. And all of the Link to the Link's Awakening displays have these amazing little dioramas.
Yes.
That are, like, 3D... Like bird's eye view landscapes of the game.
Yes. They look so good.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Going real back to the Pokemon thing, though, another small detail I noticed is the employees in there who work for Nintendo, they're actually dressed up in, like, a gym. Like, they work for the gym.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was, like, such a nice detail to have. Like, wow.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely a nice little detail.
They're trying to bring that immersion.
I think there's at least, like, 100 Nintendo employees. Strict, like, not even including, like, any other tasks. Just managing people, like guiding lines and, you know, facilitating the movement of all that stuff.
Absolutely.
We would have gone in on the Nintendo stuff, but, like, those lines are just too long. And it's Nintendo. They're not, you know, they're not just, like, walk up and be like, hey, can I check it out? Like, you really got to do that ahead of time. And that's something that we didn't really approach correctly this E3, which we've learned from our mistake. Next year, we will be able to, you know, do that as media, plan an appointment to be able to play those games without waiting in a line and all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Lucky enough, all of the games that are coming out are, like, within this year.
Yeah.
2019.
Yeah, we're not missing out on anything.
There's no big ticket items in the sense of, like Breath of the Wild 2 isn't on the floor.
Oh, no.
Or something is at the same, like, Mario Maker 2 is not on the floor.
Right.
Something at the height of Smash Brothers is not on the floor. It's all games I'm stoked about. Mm-hmm. But I'm absolutely fine waiting to play.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to be able to play them in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
The only game we really cared so much about on Nintendo was Mario Maker 2. That's 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
We'll get it. It's going to be fun.
How about the Sega booth?
Sega booth. Now, Sega's booth is really cool.
Yeah.
And it's accessible.
Yeah.
All the nerds are hanging out at the Nintendo booth in lines for 2-3 hours. Sega, it's like 10-minute wait almost always, which is...
Yeah.
That's
and they've
fine.
Got some really cool stuff. Their big ticket item is apparently Sonic and Mario at the Olympics again.
Yep.
Mario and Sonic. Whose name is first on that? I think it's Mario.
I think it's Mario.
Yeah.
Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games.
They just swap it every year. But it's a Sega game, so Mario gets to go first.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I think Sega heads development on that at this point, and I'm pretty sure they always have. But their thing is sweet. They've got a sweet rock climbing wall that we got to do.
Yeah.
You can literally get to do a rock wall.
It's probably like a three-story. Would you say a three-story?
Something like that, yeah.
And Jakku, like, almost died.
Well, I wasn't sure if I should jump off, but getting up there was easy.
Yeah,
I was getting
nice
off,
and easy.
I was
like,
oh, wait, I should just jump.
Yeah, I didn't realize you could just, like, use the harness and fall down, so I, like, climbed back down when I was done.
Yeah, that's what
Which is what they tell you to do at the rock gym that I go to in Windsor.
Right.
Like, it builds up your... Like, for actual strength training, it going down as part of the endurance building and all that stuff.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, but the Sega booth is really cool. They have that. They had, like, it was really cool. They had the Genesis Mini area, and it's like exactly what we did with the Warp World booth at TwitchCon last year. Like,
yep.
Like a nice shag carpet, like paneled walls, literally the exact same vibe we were going for.
Beanbags.
I want to say,
yeah.
Non-biased opinion, I think we did it better.
Oh, wow, yeah, absolutely.
The
yeah.
only thing they did better was their wall was like not just a wallpaper, like it was like literally textured wood panel kind of style.
It was just printed on. We had like a vinyl drop that we could do. Theirs was like printed on like a hard, like this, but hard.
Essentially obviously. Budgetary differences.
Yeah.
But ours had like a lot more heart, a lot more personality.
But
had a couch.
Theirs was really cool though.
Yeah.
And they had a giant Sega controller next to it.
Yeah.
So they have the Sega Mini, but then they got a giant controller that's like the size of tofu.
Yeah,
yeah,
like
no,
literally you
huge.
Can only do 2P1C on
that.
But yeah, Sega, and they had a nice track. They had like a racing track.
Yeah, they got an Olympic like racing track style thing. You can't race on it, but it's cool. They gave us cool shirts. They gave us cool pins.
Decals. Yeah, Sega, we were able to make a media appointment. We're blurring our days, but whatever.
We're
blurring our days going forward. But Sega was really cool.
Yeah.
The employees were really nice. We had a lot of jokes with them. You know, we talked about Danny DeVito a few times with them.
Yeah. Sega's been really cool. They do really cool stuff.
Yeah. I got to play the Judgment game from the Yakuza series.
Uh-huh.
That was really fun, actually.
Yeah, you kicked a guy so hard he literally rotated.
Yeah, like 360 rotation.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. So I mean, there's two halls.
Yeah.
Sega and Nintendo are right next to each other.
Yeah.
And then
they're pretty much the big ticket items in that one hall. There's a few other things around it, but that's pretty much all you go to that hall for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the other, you know, booths there. Like,
yeah, there was like a game competition between universities and stuff like that, and an Indiecade area that did have some cool stuff. There was a Wave Break was there, which is a game we played at GDC as well, which is really cool. There are Killer Queen cabinets around in this hall.
Yeah. We should definitely
at that after this and find some noobs, take them down.
Yeah.
I've actually never played myself.
Oh. Well, good. You're going to learn. Yeah. We're going to teach you.
We're teaching the ways of the queen. Let's see. So the other hall, though, the hall that we're actually recording in right now, a lot more going on. They
just got to say, really attractive woman just walks by and gave us a really enthusiastic wave, and I almost, like, just walked right out of here.
Slick Mick.
Yeah. So, Fortnite. Let's talk about Fortnite's booth.
Oh, Fortnite!
Literally taking up about 25% of this stadium.
Yeah.
25.
It's the big ticket item in this area. Actually, there's a lot of big ticket
items
in this area.
There's
a lot. This hall's pretty big. They have one of the larger booths, for sure. They have, like, 5 or 6 different attractions in the booth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, so, there was, like, you could go and play creative mode levels and stuff. Like, there's an area to play Fortnite.
Yeah.
And not many people give a shit about that because you can play Fortnite at home. There's
you
nothing
play it on your phone.
New
you don't
here.
Have to wait in line.
You can literally play it on your phone, yeah. But there was, it's not from the game in any fashion, but it's this cool, almost like American Gladiator style minigame competition.
Or
where
Ninja Warrior,
where it's got like 7 or 8 platforms and everybody's standing on one of these platforms. And then this gigantic bar is rotating around these platforms. One half of it is high up and one half of it is down low. So you got to crouch under and jump above as this thing spins. And we're doing this competition. The rule is if you get hit 3 times, you're out. We're all killing it, obviously.
Yeah,
but Jakku found the God strats.
Yeah,
he did. Body slam.
Yeah. I mean, at first I was doing the normal, I'm just going to jump when I got to jump, duck when I got to duck. And then I realized if you body slam that platform, you go low enough to go under the low bar, too. And it was much easier to body slam and then go to crouch. Body slam, go to crouch, then to get back up and jump.
Yeah.
And it got down to me and X-Water, actually.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, you gotta jump. I'm like, fine. And I jumped for the last few.
I actually got hit, like, when I jumped, the thing was moving so fast, it clipped my foot. And it threw me.
Oh, you gotta sign a waiver for that, bad boy.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a bounce house type of thing, but, like, someone, I guarantee you at least one person has left that, like, ooh, ow, ooh.
Oh,
yeah.
I messed up my toe.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's true.
You almost died.
You got a bruise on your
leg. Almost died.
No,
one of my big toes is kind of hurting, but it was so much fun.
It was. The Fortnite booth was really cool. Then we got free slurp juice, or as I like to call them, little cummies.
Yeah, don't do that. you got us kicked out for calling it that. They have popcorn that you could get. They had a few other things, too. Didn't we do two Fortnite things? I feel like they were really quick.
I don't remember another Fortnite. There was a gigantic wheel you could spin.
Oh, yeah.
But we didn't do that.
It was just the slurp juice. I was thinking.
They had a lot of dancers, like people who were dressed up in costumes from Fortnite.
Doing the Fortnite dances.
Contests. You could do a dance contest. I bet you, like, whoever wins gets their dance in the game.
Something like that,
because why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also had a huge party the first night. We didn't get to go to it because we were too busy drinking.
too busy drinking to go to the party.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be fair, I think a lot of the E3 memories, the convention memories and stuff, like that's very much like a rave style party where you're not having conversations, you know?
Yeah. No,
and that's really kind of style. Like the thing that we're looking to do while we're here. We don't get to spend time with each other like that often. We all live so far apart, so when we are together, it's nice to not be at those rave settings.
Yeah, and we're here for business. We're trying to do contacts.
We're businessmen.
We're media.
We're media.
But yeah, Fortnite was cool. There was a small like video game museum as well.
Yeah, there's like a video game history area. They got the coolest Sonic sweater of like ever. It looks sick.
Yeah.
There she is again.
she's circling. She's like a shark.
She's scouting us out.
Yeah.
She listens to the Warp World. She's one of our millions of listeners.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Man, what
when
what
she
else?
Hears this on Monday, she's gonna be like, "Damn, I should have came in there.
I should have came over."
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? Oh, there was the. Let's talk about the Final Fantasy cycle.
That's where
we met up with Ryu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryu and Tammy.
Ryu and Tammy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So right in the main like entrance of E3. There's a few things you can do. There's the human claw game where you can go and pick something up. That's cool. One of our friends actually hurt themselves on that. Had a sign waiver. But they have the motorcycle from Final Fantasy VII, Cloud's motorcycle, and they let you go on it, and then they take like a semi-3D photo.
A panorama. Yeah.
A panorama that rotates around you a little bit.
Almost like a Matrix-style shoot.
It's got like 12 cameras in it. It gets all these different shots.
Yeah.
And that line wasn't too bad. That was
we were in there for like 30 minutes, 40 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had just met up with Ryu and Tammy, so we took the time to kind of like catch up, chat about the trip and everything.
Yeah.
Hope we can catch them again for a dinner or something tonight.
Before they
head out,
let's see. And then right behind that was the Crash Bandicoot thing, which is silly.
Crash Bandicoot.
I
went to take a picture there today, and the line was just empty, and I was like, I mean, a picture's a picture. It's all fun.
He literally walked up, and they're like, yeah, you can go sit on it.
It was cool. They had a little trophy and everything, so I was just like one hand on the wheel, one hand holding the trophy. I'm like,
While we're talking about photos, we also did Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat was really funny.
Mortal Kombat was cool.
We had three different poses where... Like, I was, like, I took off my shirt, and, like, I had my sleeveless shirt on, as I do, because it's 2019.
Yep.
And, like, flexing and everything like that. Tofu has, like, the cool holding the skull up and, like, drinking the blood. And then Jakku's pose was holding the skull and looking at his phone like, I don't give a shit, man.
Yeah. I just got to get back to my Discord messages.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was funny.
It pulled out a lot of chuckles from, because like they put it up on the screen right after. It pulled up a lot of chuckles from everybody in the line and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's been, so this hall has like a lot of really cool booths like that. And the Mortal Kombat booth is one of them. There's the Cyberpunk, the Bethesda area.
Yep.
The Cyberpunk booth has an amazing aesthetic.
Yes.
It has lines literally circling like this room.
Yes.
And the craziest thing is that you don't even get to play it when you go in. You get to watch a developer play the demo.
Yeah. It's a 20-minute demo, and it's like a small theater inside. So you get like 20 people in there probably.
Yeah.
But all you get to do is watch someone play it, which I get it. Well, you want to see the content of the game. But if you can't even play it, 2-3 hour wait. Oh my god.
You literally drive to Vegas in that time.
Here's what you do. You put Tofu in line. You're like, here's a camera. See you in 3 hours, Tofu. Let me see that footage.
Tooth camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it right on your tooth. Then as you're watching, you just smile.
Yeah. It's the new thing.
It's perfect for me.
Yeah.
There you go. But yeah, I can't understand standing in the line for a video, but you know, we're not necessarily media journalists, maybe a lot of them, but
that's true.
There's a lot of gamers who
are excited. I know that's like definitely the most hype game coming out in the next year.
Yeah. What if the secret is Keanu Reeves is the developer that plays the game?
That would actually explain the line.
That's worth sitting in line.
But they don't tell you that, and no one knows, but
you're breathtaking.
Oh. That was hilarious.
That was great.
He had a good time.
Yeah. He did a fantastic job.
I love the progression of Keanu Reeves in video games.
Yeah.
It starts with Bill and Ted, and then it goes to the Matrix, enter the Matrix, and now we got this, and everyone's like, oh yeah, we just did better video game graphics just to make Keanu Reeves better in video games.
Yeah, apparently too, Cyberpunk is like Keanu's not just like a one-off character game. Like he's like going to be a big part of the story. Yeah. For the whole entirety of it.
He did 15 days of voice recording.
That's
wow.
Stupid.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's not just like, oh, I'm really in the game for a moment, see you later. He's part of it, which is really cool.
I'm really enjoying this new era of celebrities starring in video games.
Well, it's one of the next stages.
Yeah, it is.
As many gamers have known and have said for years, it's a form of entertainment, it's a form of art, it's a form of media that is going to be the next form. Over books and movies.
I remember a decade ago, there was arguments about whether or not video games can be classified as like a form of art that. And now it's not even a question. It's like,
absolutely.
Are you kidding? Keanu Reeves is in a video game. Of course it is.
It's really meshing the media all together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, Square Enix, they
got a big booth.
Yeah, they got a big booth. Final Fantasy 15. They got some Final Fantasy 7 stuff.
Apparently, you could demo Final Fantasy 7. You had to get a pass, though, and they were not given to everybody.
It was VIP, They had a VIP entrance.
Well, it wasn't only VIP. My brother's here with his friend, and his friend got a pass to do the demo.
Maybe we walk up to the media check-in area, see if we can arrange anything. Final day, maybe there's some time.
What else was there? Oh, you guys went to the Dragon Ball capsule
this morning.
Well, we didn't do the capsule. What we did do was we learned the power of the media badges today, and that's when we're walking around and we see the Bandai Namco media entrance, and we walk up and it says like appointment check-in. But Tofu and I actually had a really interesting moment yesterday with a buddy of mine that I'll talk more about in a second. That kind of like showed us just how much power you have with a media badge.
Yeah.
So I walked out there and I'm just like, we don't have an appointment, but we'd love to check out the games. We're going to be covering them on a podcast later today.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh yeah, you know, we can't slate you in for any meetings, but we can welcome you into the floor and all that stuff. It'll be fine and all this and everything like that. So they let us in and we got to play Rad, which is actually really cool. It's like
it's like a dungeon crawler. At least that's what it reminded me of.
Action RPG style game, similar to like Bastion, Diablo, Gauntlet, stuff like that, but at the same time with a really interesting mutation style twist. So you like go in and as you explore this world, it's like very much based off of the 80s. Like the loading tracks started off with like the from Michael Jackson's Billie Jean, but then like it obviously it makes it into something else. It had a lot of like 80s references and everything. But you mutate in the game as you explore, and you grow new powers, and you find new like mods to your character. So my character was pooping out little larvae with the R trigger, and I could fight alongside them. And you were what, breathing fire?
I was able to shoot fire from my hand.
Yeah,
wow. No, it was really cool. Like there was a gauge at the top.
Yeah.
And when you killed enough like mutated enemies, you yourself became mutated.
Yes.
And it like what I noticed is it took on the form of whatever I killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the mutations were really cool. The exploration was a lot of fun. I wasn't sure if it was multiplayer or not. I'm assuming it will be.
It looks
that
like it's
looks
multiplayer.
Like it's something that fits multiplayer.
Yeah. It has that like that it's two dimensional, but in a 3D it's a 2D game to where you only move up, you know, up and down, and then you know left and right.
Yeah.
But then it's like on a 3D platform, kind of like Diablo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was very Diablo-esque. You like it looked like you like it's gonna be a dungeon crawler. It was just I thought it was fun.
It was cool. It's something I'd love to play with a group of friends when it is launched. But the big thing in there was obviously Dragon Ball, the new Kakarot game.
Yeah.
And we got to play up to the end of the Raditz fight.
Okay. Yeah.
And so it was really cool. Like, obviously, Dragon Ball has released game after game, where it's like, hey, go beat Raditz and Frieza and, like, play through the story. But this was really cool because you start off in an open world, and you just go around exploring. There's villages around. You could stop and go fishing. You could stop and go mining, find minerals. Like, you level up. You can spec tree and everything. Like, the first thing I did, because it was a 20-minute time cap demo, so I was like, I see a couple quest markers. I went over to a small village, and I found a character. I can't remember his name. He's like the brown dude with a turban from the Dragon Ball that he fought in the tournament.
Yeah, sure.
That guy. I think it's like Pi or something.
So
I find him, and like Goku and him have some dialogue, and he's like, I'm trying to sell these these rocks to feed my village. So you find, like, your quest is to find someone to sell this stuff to on behalf of him. And it's like a neat little world interaction that I didn't expect to run into in this game. Like, they had a lot more depth to the outside of the story stuff than I anticipated.
It's like a real RPG in a way.
Yeah, it's leveling up.
And,
like,
and is there the voice actors? Is it?
There's voice actors for main scenes. It was like your standard, yeah, okay.
Is the real voice actors original?
Yes. Yes. Definitely Sean Schimmel, still voicing Goku.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool.
All of the main story scenes were great. The visuals are great. The combat's actually, like, really good. Yeah. Tofu and I were talking about how, like, it's not a masher. Like,
no.
You gotta be
that's
skilled.
Because I think the mashing Dragon Ball games, like, we've done that so many times now.
Yeah.
And we did have some Dragon Ball RPGs on the NES and Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
But they were never to the States.
There was one on the Game Boy Advance that I loved.
Yes. A lot of people, that one was Legend of Goku 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really good. So it's nice to see that again. Again, we're going to see the same old story we see with Goku or Kakarot forever and ever. You go through that whole saga. But it's nice to know that there's elements outside of that typical story, so you're not just playing something you've already seen 15 other times.
Exactly.
No, honestly, when they announced the Kakarot game, like, my first thought was, like, Resident Sleeper. Like,
again?
Wow, another one.
Yeah.
And playing it was actually like, you know what? I actually might.
I might pick it up, yeah.
Yeah, because I know yesterday you're like, ah. I'm like, what do you think of the new Dragon Ball game? You're like, ah.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
The real big shame is that we didn't get to do the capsule. Like, they have the display that's, like, the capsule core ship that, you know, Goku flies to Planet Frieza. And I wanted to go in there and do push-ups.
Yeah.
That would be the highlight of my life.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's talk about what the real highlight of your life is, though. Because, you know, I think we're getting a little long.
Yeah. Okay, then yesterday's events?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You know what? Go ahead and take it away.
You know what? I'll let you, man.
All right. All right.
Well, your life.
So let's start the setting. Set the setting.
Yeah.
So what?
Well, Jakku has already met and made friends with a person at Nintendo. Are we going to be excluding his name from this?
Let's be safe about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're not going to name names or mention anything like that. But
we're going to name one name.
We're going to name one name eventually. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a friend at Nintendo and Jakku, like, already had previously met him and knew him, and so introduced us, and we all went out and met up together with a big group to go get some nice authentic Japanese food at a restaurant, like a very authentic Japanese restaurant. Like, the people there spoke Japanese very fluently. We were on Tommy mats. It was the first time I sat crisscross applesauce at a dinner table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, we had to take off our shoes.
Yeah.
When we came down
to go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
go wear
slippers.
That stuff.
It was a legit Japanese experience.
It was hilarious. And right after we sit down, like maybe 5 minutes in, our friends from Sega walk in. We're sitting with Nintendo and Sega walks up and we're like, this is awkward.
Yeah. Hold on, let's talk about Sega real quick.
Yeah.
They've been following us.
Yeah.
That was not the first time we went somewhere and Sega showed up.
Yeah.
So we're on to you.
It was two or three times.
Fuck, Sega? Really? Wow.
Get out of here.
They're watching the podcast right now.
There were two or three times yesterday alone that, like, we ran into the same people from Sega, not at the conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and
we're suspicious.
Areas.
Yeah.
Like, kind of odd, to be honest.
Yeah. But anyway, so we're sitting down, we're enjoying a really nice meal, and eventually Jordan Kent, the person who commentated one of the commentators for the championships, had joined
us. The Moneymaker, the Splatoon,
yeah.
The Smash.
And so that was already, like, blowing my mind a little bit. Like,
that was
kind of geeking out. I asked him, like, you know, I was fangirling, I asked him how he got started into commentary, like, you know, we just chilled out and stuff. And then after a while, I'm like, okay, I gotta go to the bathroom. Come back. And these guys already know.
Yeah.
I sit down, and then our Nintendo friend is like, promise me when I tell you this, you won't freak out. And I'm like, okay, I'm braced. What is it? Aonuma was there. The director of the Legend of Zelda franchise since Ocarina of Time, maybe even earlier. I don't think so.
Potentially.
Was like 20, 30 feet away from us.
He was eating in the same restaurant.
Yep.
I had just walked right past him and didn't even realize it as I returned back from the bathroom.
Yeah.
He was in the same place. I sat there and, like, I didn't scream, but in my head, like, I had to start breathing deeply. Like, I was shook.
We were worried you were going to recognize him on your way back.
Yeah.
And just like, what?
Yeah, like, you were telling us the surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I was very focused on, like, just getting back.
Yeah. At first, you looked like you were about to lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Like,
I was like,
you were hyperventilating,
like,
for a second.
We were literally all wearing Zelda shirts.
All three of us had Zelda shirts on, which
it's definitely
hilarious.
Been my favorite franchise of, like, all time. It holds a very special place in my heart. We got to see the man in person. It was, I didn't think, I was telling Tofu the day before, like, I don't think I can have that moment again. I don't think I can have these moments, like, after doing Red Bull speedrun sessions,
yeah.
After doing all the crazy shit that we've been doing
Moons
for the last couple of years.
Or,
I didn't think it got any higher.
And then
I saw him in person.
And yeah. What's even crazier is because it was, so we were sitting at the table with, you know, people who worked at Nintendo.
Yeah.
And the table where Aonuma sat, I guess they ordered too much food.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you know what, guys? You guys want some ribs?
Yeah.
So we were like literally eating ribs that Aonuma ordered because he was too full. Just like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
And so as we're leaving the restaurant, like he's bracing us, and obviously he doesn't, the person from Nintendo, he doesn't want us to like go up and be like, oh my God, we love your stuff. Can we take a picture with you? Like,
right.
He was very much like, hey, like we met up.
Please don't.
Please don't like, you know, bother him. He's here. He doesn't
want
to do that kind
of
stuff. And we were obviously like, sure.
Of course.
So we were like, we're going to walk past. We're going to wave. And he waved back at us. And he was like, and I definitely did a little bow. Like, I was like, thank you. Thank you, Aonuma-san.
He was afraid of me.
Yeah, and so we all went outside. And so one of the people we were dining with was knew the person from Nintendo through their stream. And he was there with his mother. He was a younger audience member.
Yeah.
And so because he was a younger kid, like somewhere between like 16, 17, 18, something like that.
Somewhere
he
that
was
range.
Young.
He was young.
Yeah.
Young.
Yeah.
So.
They pulled some strings for him to get a picture with Aonuma.
Yeah.
And he,
but we weren't good enough for it.
No. Yeah. Aonuma came out of the restaurant and we're like, oh, are we going to do a group photo maybe?
My favorite part was that everybody started clapping after the picture was taken.
It was so adorable.
Yeah.
It was wholesome.
It was a definitely fun moment. Like,
it was wholesome.
5 feet away from him at that point.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
That was wild.
Yes. He won't ever remember it, but Aonuma has seen my face.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah.
We might have a character that looks like you in the next Zelda.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, he's designing characters like, do this look. And it's like,
you
that
know
looks
what?
Like Mickey.
That guy
he's
looks
got
a
nose piercing.
Yeah.
He looks suspiciously like Brendan Urie.
Yeah. That was really cool. And that was completely far away from E3.
Yeah, we were blocks.
Yeah.
Like, we were like an 13-minute Uber away.
It was 13 minutes. Yeah, it was like a good
It was a wild coincidence that we happened to run into Sega and Aonuma.
Oh my God.
At this restaurant that is like not that close to the convention.
Yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah.
That was definitely like one of the big moments of E3.
It definitely shook me, dude. It definitely shook me.
We went to the Twitch partner party.
And we got to meet a couple. That Twitch partner party was really interesting because I felt like at TwitchCon, the people there are everybody,
yeah,
right? Everybody's there.
Partner,
I felt like
much.
The partners at the TwitchCon or at the E3 partner party were all these like giants.
Yeah.
These intimidating like your standard like 5 to 10K average viewership kind of partners,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like, whoa.
Yeah. And here we are, like, rum and coke, please.
yeah. So it was a really fun little shindig. We didn't stay for too long though.
No, we stayed a little over an hour.
Yeah.
We got late. It was actually wrapping up. We got out right before they wrapped up, so there wasn't like this mad dash to get out.
Yeah.
But it was fun hanging out with a lot of Twitch people. We've had a lot of meetings off the show floor with developers and other like Twitch-related type people and stuff for Warped Business.
Yep. We got a couple meetings after this.
Yeah.
Which has been really great, really fun. And like, you know, we're really going places, I feel like. At least we're making all the right moves or trying to.
Yeah, you know what? I think what we can take away from this is like we've learned E3. We've learned how to do E3.
Yes.
I feel like I've learned how to carry myself at these kind of places.
Yes.
And in these sorts of settings and meetings and everything.
Yes.
And the crazy thing is, like, these are all really big events and important things, but I find that it's like, this is just the flash of the camera compared to, like, all of the setup that is, you know, everything we've done before this, all of the work, the blood, sweat, and tears that goes in every day to everything that Warped World is doing, whether it be podcasts, developing, streaming, broadcast, all avenues that we've hit have all kind of accumulated together to bring us to what this trip has been. And it's been humbling, it's been unreal, and it's been something I can only be so great. I'm so grateful to have this opportunity, right?
You took the words out of my mouth. I can't even add to it because you're right. It's just, it's a very humbling experience.
Yeah.
And like, this is all of our first real E3. I've been to E3 twice before this, but it is, I was in as like a, I cheated my way in. I gained nothing. I got in as through Circuit City. Circuit City, I'm like, I work in video games. Sure, they accepted my application. Yeah. Joke's on them. It was completely different back then. Because age difference, but two, like, the floor show seemed so much bigger, and they had so many more grand displays because it was all media-focused.
Yeah.
And now there's so many, like, normal attendees here, just gamers, that it's kind of like any other conference you go to, like PAX. Yeah. It feels very, like, this is how it is now.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily bad, but I do, like, I kind of do miss what I remember seeing in, like, the grand displays
everywhere. You think maybe it's different just because of the perspective of yourself at that age as to what you would perceive now? Like, if you were 19 walking into this, you think you'd have that same, like, whoa?
I think it would still blow my mind, but, like, I was talking, like, every single booth was huge and had, like, some crazy overhanging dragon or something crazy. And it was just, like, so much to do and so much swag. Like, there's swag here, but, like, still seems much more smaller than before.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You know, there's been so many highlights about it, but I gotta say, there have been a few things about E3 that have made me salty.
Oh, yeah?
Salty?
Yeah.
Salty, huh?
Yeah, there's been a couple of things that have made me salty, which does bring us to one of my favorite things, the Marianne's Chocolate Salty Moment of the Week. And this is a segment where we talk about things in the gaming world or our lives that are making us salty. And it's a segment brought to you by Marianne's Chocolate, the provider of the spectacular Warp coins. You can find them at coins.warp.world, and you can order yourself a pack of 12 Warp coins. They're about the size of a mayonnaise lid, and I'm talking a big jar of mayonnaise, too.
Not that small, like...
Yeah, not those squirt bottles or anything like that. We're talking a big...
The 24-ounce.
Yeah. 24-ounce unit, yeah. It's about the size of a lid for each coin. You get 12 coins in a pack. You can mix and match between milk chocolate, dark chocolate. They all got a little bit of salt in there, which is provided from us. We generate the salt. And if you use code WARP, you get $5 off. So thank you to Marianne's Chocolate for sponsoring this podcast. We appreciate you. Our salty moment of the week, the way we're getting you your product, is the lines, man.
The
Nintendo lines in particular.
Okay, so we showed up this morning.
We woke up at 8:20.
I woke up at 7.
You were up early.
Yeah. I always wake up early.
You had a shower. I'm not about that life.
We get here, and we find out for today that the gamers and the media get in at the same time.
Yep.
And so we have to, like, not essentially wait in line. It was more wait for this mass to kind of rush the door.
Wait in ball, kind of.
Yeah, wait in ball. We get through the door, and me and X-Water jog our way to the Link's Awakening, and we get in line, and immediately, it's probably like 9:03.
This is right as it opened, and we ran, like, beelined it to the spot.
Beelined it. 2.5-3 hour wait.
Yeah.
Done.
We walked right out of the line at that point, because I want to play it. But there's so many other things I want to experience. I don't want to sit in a line for 3 hours.
Yeah. It's a game you've already played.
It is.
It's a game that's coming out in a few months.
It is.
You can do so many better things in that 3 hours here than playing something that you're good at. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
What has me really salty about it isn't so much the fact that I didn't get to play the game, but I want to take in the experience of that booth without having to wait in the line. Like, I would love if there was a way that people could still...
Walk through
and see the area without having, like, a separate game station with decorations. Because I really wanted to get a close-up look at those dioramas. I really wanted to go through Luigi's Mansion. I really wanted to go in and check out that Pokemon gym.
Yeah.
And I would love to pick up those. They got, like, pins for Pokemon. I'm pretty sure you can get a Sobble, Grookey, and Scorbunny pin. I really want those.
What would be nice is if they put those dioramas and stuff in the line.
Yeah.
So you have something to look at.
That would be a nice way to do it while you're waiting. The Nintendo line is so long, you literally have to go to the area where they don't have carpet. Like, there's tape on the floor that makes a maze.
Yeah.
And people stand inside these lines of tape to fill up this maze.
They let you in at certain...
And they let you into the... It's a line to get into the line, to get into the area where there's a line to play the game.
Yeah. Yesterday, we checked the line, and did they say it was like a five-hour wait, six-hour wait?
Yeah.
It was just... It's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Now, I waited in line for the DS.
Yeah.
And that was a two-hour wait, which was not bad.
Yeah.
Like, 2 hours to see the Nintendo DS before and we, it was announced here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was worth it. That's something, you know, new system. You got to play that. A game that's a re-release, essentially.
Yeah.
I get it. We all want to play.
It's exciting.
It's exciting.
It is.
But I
can't. It's not worth 6 hours.
It's not worth 6 hours. It's
not worth 3 hours.
2 hours.
It might be worth one.
1 hour.
If my day is... See, that's the thing, man. We're here on business, too. We're not here to, you know, we're not here to just, like, spend a day at the convention floor. We got meetings. We got things to do. We got people we want to see. We got friends we want to hang out with.
Yeah.
So that's, like... That's why I'm kind of like...
A little salty.
It gets me a little salty.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. But we do know for next year that as media, we can like book in advance this kind of thing.
Yes.
And it's something... We did very much like book our E3's trip very late. You know, it was kind of like Mario Maker date was announced and we're like, you know what we should try and do? It was like an idea that popped in our head that we never really planned on doing this anything further back than a month before the date.
Yeah. And now we know and, you know... We'll be able to have better E3 next year.
Yeah.
But it was still worth it because, again, we came for a lot of meetings around E3.
Yeah.
We probably had like 15 plus meetings already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was beneficial. It was greatly beneficial for Warp World as a whole in terms of all of the development aspects, the developer aspects of it.
Yeah. So we
also being here as a streamer, it was a big learning experience, I feel.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But yeah, I think that's going to have to be it for this episode.
You guys want a real quick hot take?
What's your hot take?
Hot take.
Real quick, hot take.
Who won the conference in 1 minute or less?
Nintendo.
Sega.
Sega won my heart in the conference, I'll say. They gave us a shirt. They let us climb a wall. Nintendo brought a lot. Nintendo didn't bring a lot that we didn't know was coming. I don't think Nintendo won the conference.
Breath of the Wild 2.
Okay, Banjo-Kazooie. Nintendo wins. Nintendo wins.
I mean,
Breath of the Wild 2, yeah. But here's the thing. Microsoft did a really good job. I'm not going to lie. I love everything with the new Game Pass. I love everything they're doing with how they're trying to innovate the industry. And I don't think they necessarily brought anything new in terms of... Like, obviously, we're biased. We're Nintendo people.
Yeah.
But I really respect the game that Microsoft pulled out for this conference in terms of what they want to do with streaming, what they want to do with the Game Pass, both on Xbox and on PC, and... the merger of those two. It makes me want to own an Xbox, have it in my living room, so I have this Game Pass. I can play these games when I want to and all that stuff for a small little subscription. Like, they're winning me over. I think this Game Pass is like the first step to the future of gaming. The same way that nobody goes out and buys a movie anymore. You just watch it on Netflix.
Yeah.
Same thing. Who's going to want to spend $60 on Gears when I can just get a month of Game Pass for $10?
I think Microsoft had the best like announcements that we didn't expect.
Yeah.
Nintendo had all the stuff we wanted and are excited to see and play.
Yeah.
But Sega had the best, most accessible booth for the attendees.
Yes. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
The real winners are the gamers.
No.
The real winners are the friends we made along the way.
We did that last year.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to be it, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. If you watch on the Twitch stream live at E3, thank you. We apologize for the noise. Hopefully our editor can do a good job with it. But otherwise, this has been the Warp World crew.
Make sure you check us out on patreon.warp.world. Make sure if you're listening on a podcast app, you give us those good ratings and all that jazz.
Please rate us.
Yes.
Yes.
Give us as many good, say nice things about me. It inflates my ego more than it currently is, and it's great.
But yeah, follow us on Twitter.
All that good stuff.
Warp World. But we'll see you next time. This was episode 100. Milestone. We did it,
Mom.
Yay.
All
blah,
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Have a fantastic week, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
When Grand Pooh Bear returns.